Hey there, everyone. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. And Akashic Wisdom is the program where we talk about the Akashic Records, and we talk about the different ways you can use the Akashic Records in your life. So if you've never listened before, to give you a little bit of a definition, the Akashic Records are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime. So every thought, every word, every deed is registered in the Akasha, including your soul's intention for this lifetime. And so what my work is centered around is helping people feel more comfortable in their skin and helping them understand why they came here. I don't really deal, I mean, if it comes up in a consultation, we'll definitely work with past lives, but that's not the focus of my work, is not regressing someone and or going into their Akashic Records for their past life issues. And if you're going to stay on, and I hope you do, we're going to talk about how to use the Akashic Records in business today. And not only business as in business, but the business of your life. And we have to look at life like a business. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. You can also call in, and your phone calls are welcome. And you can also email me. And my email address is info, I-N-F-O, at akashicwisdom.com. Just the same name as the show, akashicwisdom.com. So it's info, I-N-F-O, at akashicwisdom. That's A-K-A-S-H-I-C, wisdom, W-I-S-D-O-M. com. And if you'd like to call in tonight, you can call in at 415-762-1161. But to get back to the Akashic Records, there are many levels of the Akashic Records. Because there's many dimensions, I mean, can just imagine, you know, you're talking about billions and billions of years of information, more than we can possibly process in our human minds. We're not really wired for all of the galactic stuff that can be accessed. And not only that, most of the stuff that even can be accessed is, it's not that it's not important, but we need, especially now, especially in these times before 2012, we need to know about who we are. We need to know how we fit in this scheme of this thing called life on planet Earth. And we need to be able to feel confident in who we are as we move forward. And we need to be able to really move into our own personal gifts and our own personal knowings in a way that we've never done before. And so tonight, as I mentioned, we're talking about the business of life. And one of the things that is important for us to look at is the things in our life that take our energy, that sap our energy. And so what I'd like you to do, this is kind of a little bit of this is a quasi-lecture, quasi-workshop evening we're going to talk about. But what I'd like you to do is come up with anywhere from 100 to 200 things that you are or feel incomplete about right now. And they can be large or small, you know, and because each one of those things that you feel incomplete about opens a thread in your brain and occupies space. It literally saps energy from you. And these incompletions accumulate, and then it also affects your ability for joy or your capacity for happiness, your capacity for creativity, and overall your effectiveness in all areas are reduced. So when you identify and act on your incompletions, you actually free up your own personal energy. You reduce your stress and you increase your capacity for happiness. So what I'd like you to do is I would like you to just think about all the different places in your life that you feel incomplete, you feel shame, you feel disappointed. And this is all that has to do with you. This is not necessarily it has to do with anybody else other than your relationships. And then you want to say, what do you feel incomplete about with your relationships? And you may even want to say that a different way, because in relationships, we also tolerate things that we would like to change, but we tolerate them and never change them. And those things that we tolerate also sap our energy, because we're constantly thinking about how we can change the other person rather than looking to see how we can actually move into our own light and our own information. And don't forget the spiritual part of you. What parts of your spirituality do you feel incomplete with, or that you feel that you're just, again, tolerating, or that you have it on your list of things to do to explore, but you haven't done that yet. And then go to yourself, whether it's diet or your exercise program or your personal time, your space, and so on. So what's important here is for you to list all these things that you feel incomplete about. And then once you list those things, now I'm going to give you a couple of moments to just, and what I'd like you to do is, if you'd really like to talk about some of these things that you're just, that you feel incomplete with or that you're just tolerating, I'd like you to just call in and we can certainly talk about your list tonight. And that's just fine. But make your list first and do this, because you would be amazed at what happens when you just start making your list. And don't be surprised if you use a couple of sheets of paper and it ends up to be more than 100, because one thing moves to another. And it's not just clean my house. It's about actually taking room by room and identifying what you want to do in that room. So those are all things. Let's say it's a drawer or a desk that you want to clean out. And it's really about listing the drawers that are there, cleaning the refrigerator, reorganizing your cupboards, going through your closet, or going through all the closets in the house and mention the different rooms that you need to go through, sorting out and clearing the garage, sorting out and clearing your bedroom or your family room, or sorting out your good china from your everyday china, or the china that you want to give away or that you don't need anymore. So the idea here is, it's really about looking at your life and making a list of all the things that you would like to get done. Now, it also includes hobbies, things that you've always wanted to do but you've never taken the action to do, things you've wanted to learn but you've never taken the action to learn. What happens is, when you hold all these ideas or concepts or incompletions in your mind and your heart, it's like a bank account. And I think, you know, I think the first person to talk about an energy bank account, and I could be wrong, but was Carolyn Mace. And so you really need to look at, where is your energy going? And where are the threads of energy leading? Because the key here is to begin to really cut those threads, and so that your bank account of energy and focus is full. Many times people think they're ADD, and it's not that they're ADD so much as they have so much on their plate, they don't know where to begin, so they become overwhelmed. And so you really want to make that list. And then you want to take action. And you take action in three different ways. You either do it, you delegate it or you get rid of it until you have the time or the resources to do something with it. What I mean by, like, let's say you defer it. And that would be number three. Deferring, you know, is like putting it on the shelf. You just put it on the shelf until you have the time or the resource to do it. And then you forget about it. Just once you've put it on the shelf, it's there until you take it off, but with the intention that anything you put on the shelf will not sap or draw energy from you. You'll always have a list of the things that are on the shelf, and you'll always know that it's there if you want to revisit it. But it's not necessary to take action right now. And then the last one is dump it. Get rid of it. Toss it. Let it go. And move on. So if you are looking at this list and you get real clear with yourself and you say, you know, I haven't done that for the last 15 years and I don't think I'm going to. In fact, I know I'm not going to. So what you want to do is just let it go. Be willing to release that which no longer serves you and also saps your energy. And so it's really about taking the time to move into your own awareness, to be able to make this list. And then once you make your list, you have to understand that each time you address another one of these incompletes, it's like fixing a leak in a tire or an oxygen tank. And once you plug it up, you have more and more to be able to give. So choose like two or three things on your list and then make a commitment to yourself. What will I do about, and name it, and by when? And so what you're doing is you're choosing, you don't have to choose them all, just two or three things, and your commitment is to take action in some, one of those ways that we talked about. Take action, again, either by doing it, delegating it to someone else, putting it on the shelf, or dumping it. But two or three things, and you say, what will I do about, and fill in the blank, and by when, and give yourself a deadline. And so what's so important about this is that you then have the ability to then move forward and take the rest of the list, and you can pull it out from time to time. But what's interesting is once you've gotten it out of your body, out of your mind, you can actually put it in to a drawer and come back and look at it in 6 months. You may be very surprised that a lot of the things are done. Why? Because you were willing to take the effort to document it and send it out to the universe and allow the universe to give you the time, the money, or the effort, you know, the energy to complete some of those tasks. So this is a very important exercise when you're talking about trying to move forward, because what happens is we have many belief systems that are layered one on top of the other. And each one has its own way of challenging us. Now, we really need to look at what are our largest challenges right now. Money, relationship, health, spirituality. What are the largest challenges right now? And again, if you are a light worker and you go along with the idea that we're reincarnated and every time we come back we have an agenda, then you know that we have made soul decisions on how our life is based on our choices going to look and feel. So if you're in a place that you don't like, the question that you need to be asking yourself is, how is this challenge serving me? How is this challenge serving me? What is it allowing me to do, and what is it preventing me from doing? And what are the consequences of leaving it exactly the way it is? So those questions, you're getting a full plate of homework today. But remember, it's right before the solstice. And it's right before, it's the spring solstice. I think we passed it, but there's something coming up that I know is important. And what the master's teachers and loved ones are telling me, it has to do with an energetic shift. Not only the one that just happened, but there's another one coming, and they are going to be coming more often now. The shift of the planet, and the shift of the energy that surrounds the planet and permeates the planet, those shifts are going to happen more and more. And we need to be able to work on healing our wounds, if you will, our own personal self-inflicted wounds. And the self-inflicted wounds are all about self-sabotage. So we need to begin to really starting to heal those wounds and identify what triggers those wounds. Because it is our job to become as strong as we can and move into our own light so that we will be prepared for any challenges that may come in 2012 and beyond. And I do say beyond because this planet is going to survive, but it's going to be up to us to make that choice. And so that's one of the reasons that it's so important that we start healing ourselves, because the folks that will be here after 2012 will have a whole different consciousness about how they want their lives to look and feel. And there will be people that are here today that will still be here in 2012 and beyond. I mean, other than children. But it's our job to truly lay the foundation and make the way for future generations by healing ourselves and making our energies whole, W-H-O-L-E, not the ones with the nails in the fence hole. So the whole idea is, I like the way they did that, the whole idea is to create a wellness within us and a wholeness within us that anchors us and grounds us so that we're able to accept various unusual situations, galactic contact, angelic contact, and spiritual contact in ways that we've never thought of before. And so it's time now to start working that concept, if you will, in pretty much every area of our life. And so you've got a lot on your plate right now. I just kind of gave you a lot of homework. But I'd love to be able to chat with you about it if you have any questions or if you'd just like to talk about it. But this is about being the CEO or running your own business of life. That's what this is all about. So I'm going to give you the number again. And again, it's 415-762-1161. Now, one of the other things that I work with the Akashic Records when I go into a business or I work with a business owner is helping that business owner reconnect with the passion they had when they first started the business. There's so many people out there that are working in jobs they really don't like or love, and there's so many business owners that have the business because either they inherited it or they thought it would be a good idea, they fell into it, any number of reasons. But they feel like the business chose them rather than them choosing the business, and their passion is now waning. They just feel that they're kind of going through the motions, but they really don't enjoy going to work anymore. And so what I do is I help people reignite their passions for their livelihood. I also help people choose the livelihood that they feel the most connected to. And so if you have any questions around that, please feel free to call. Again, 415-762-1161. You know, life coaching through the Akashic Records, which is what I do if for some people, is very helpful because we cover something every week or every 2 weeks that is based on the curriculum that the client sets out that they want to accomplish. So they have an end result in mind of what they would like to accomplish. And then we ask the masters, teachers, and loved ones of the Akashic Record to assist us so that they can fulfill their intentions. And that's a very, very, very cool class. The other thing is, I was working with someone today, and what came forward was the beginning, we were able to access the beginning of a rejection and abandonment pattern. This was extremely profound. And so I want you to go back into your life and see where this matches for you. Now, many of us had, and it certainly hit home for me, many of us have had animals when we first were growing up. I had a dog from the time I was 9 months old, and over the years have had dogs and cats and what have you. And one of the things that has come forward from the records is that when we lose an animal at a young age, and a young age can be anywhere from 2 or 3 all the way up to teenager for that matter, but in the formative, the brain formative years, and in my particular case, I was 8 years old. But it can happen as early as 3. When you lose an animal and you have no explanation for it, based on the way your family is raising you and what they explain to you about what happened to the animal, it can set off a chain of events that creates a pattern of dysfunction and abandonment and rejection. Because a little kid doesn't know any better when an animal takes off and leaves. And the animal could have been kidnapped. The animal could have been hit by a car. The animal could have been hurt by another animal. Or the animal could have been taken by the parent and taken to the pound because they couldn't handle taking care of the animal anymore. There's all those reasons. And then, quite frankly, the animal could have just run away. And there's so many other reasons, but when you're attached to a pet and that pet disappears on you and you don't know why, then all the things that you perceive about not being good enough are anchored and start with the confirmation of the pet leaving. And of course, that has to do with how it's explained to you. I mean, if your parents are straight with you and say, your pet died or your pet got sick and had to go to doggy heaven or something like that. If you're told in a way that's responsible and truthful, okay, totally different story than if you're told nothing and everybody glosses over it and then they don't talk about it anymore. Then that child runs their mind that there must be something wrong with them that the pet left. And then when you combine that with the parent being critical of the child, again, that creates an ongoing pattern of feeling unworthy and not good enough of receiving. And it spirals. It totally spirals. So if you had in your life a situation where you lost a pet early and no one really explained to you what happened to that pet, what's going to be so important is that you go in and talk to that little kid inside of you that lost that pet. And you need to nurture that child in a way that says, no one will ever hurt you again. I won't allow it. And you really need to mean it. And remember, you're the adult. You did survive. So it's really about talking to that little one, whether it's 2 years old, 3 years old, 8 years old, and assuring that little one inside of you that nobody's ever going to hurt them again. And then, when you're done, give them the gift of a new pet. And that pet can look just like the other one, but I suggest you name it something different. So that your little child inside of you has a new pet, let's say kitten or puppy, that they can play with throughout eternity. And you can go there anytime you want to just fantasize or to play with your little child inside of you. Now, I realize this is not conventional talk, but then if it's mainstream, it's not on BBS, right? So the idea here, though, is that this program tonight is helping you understand how to release that which no longer serves you, that holds you back from being all that you can be, and giving you a little bit of information about where your patterns or beliefs start. Now, in my particular case, I got my first pet, a little Scotty dog, when I was 9 months old. So that little dog actually grew up with me. And when I was 8, he got sick. And my father took him to the vet and told me that he got sick and that he died. And what I found out later, much later, like when I was in my 40s, is that my father never took him to the vet to get well. My father took him and put him to sleep. So that was a shock when I found out, and I felt very betrayed. And it took me a long time to work through that. Hello, caller. We've got a caller on our line. Hello.
Hi. Hello. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Where are you calling from?
I was wondering. I was listening to your program tonight, and when a person feels that they're not good enough or bad, that they want to look good, and so they compromise and accommodate.
Okay.
Do you have any way of helping them get over those beliefs?
Sure. Well, could I ask what your name is? Just your first name.
Jim.
Okay, Jim. And where are you calling from?
Ohio.
Okay. I mean, Northern Ohio, Southern Ohio?
Yeah, Northern Ohio.
Okay. You don't. If you don't feel like telling me the city, that's okay. what's important in that respect, so you're, what you're saying is that you're trying to make yourself look good, but inside you're feeling like an imposter. Is that what you're saying to me?
Right.
And
my life is a total lie. It's all pretense.
Okay, so your life is a total lie. And in what way is it a total lie?
I'm not going for what I really want, you know, as far as I know. I'm doing things that I'm not interested in. I might get into a relationship that I really don't want to be in.
Okay.
You know.
And so, as far as work is concerned, are you in a job that you really don't care about?
Right.
What if you could do anything you wanted to do? What would it be?
Well, that's the thing. I really don't know 100%. I mean, I've been searching for years to try to find something that can really transform a life, and I haven't been able to find it.
Well, that's a scary thought.
Yeah, and the thing is, if I think I could find it, then I think that could be my passion. I could really get behind it with my full energy and really be true about it and not be lying and doing something I don't really want to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, it actually works the other way around, that you first find something that you're passionate about, and then you get behind it, because it's really about finding your bliss. And it's really about looking at your life and noticing the different areas that bring you happiness. And so sometimes that's very hard because, again, people are so used to literally living a lie. You're not alone. There's a lot of people doing that. And that their fear is if somebody ever really finds out that, you know, what would they do? They won't love me. They won't like me. And so it's a huge burden to carry is, number one, you're not happy with what you do, and number two, you don't want anybody to find out you're not happy with what you do. Does that
right.
make sense?
But
yeah.
The thing is, with the pattern that I have, it tends, over a period of time, it tends to come out anyways. I can't really hide it forever. And
sure.
I can't necessarily accommodate continually. So I get an outside interest, and as time goes on, I put more energy and time into that outside interest.
Are you talking about a relationship, more in relationships now, or in work?
Well, in relationships.
Yeah, right,
basically.
That's what I thought. So here's what I'm hearing, and again, you know, if I had your full current legal name, I could give you more information, but just from a general point of view, what the master's teachers and loved ones are saying that is that within the relationship issues, that your boundaries are fuzzy because it's really about not standing up for what you believe in.
Right.
And
that's exactly.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is, I saw my older brother being able to stand up for, you know, and get out of different things as a child, where I did not stand up, and I had to go through those things that I didn't like.
And what's your relationship with your mom like?
Well, it's pretty kind of distant. You know?
It's distant now, but when you were a kid growing up, did you feel really pressured into doing it her way?
Yeah, she pretty much raised me, you know.
Like your dad wasn't
around,
is that what you're saying?
Well, my dad was busy doing different things, but he agreed with her in what I should do.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, it's not they had two different ideas. They were both together and, you know, hey, I should go through and do these things. But I'm just saying I saw my older brother get out of doing it by standing up. And then for some reason I felt compelled to go through this, even though I hated the experiences.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I did it, you know. And so
I didn't
stand up. And that's one of the biggest things that I need now is to be able to stand up. I haven't a clue on really how to do it, and it's kind of wearing me thin.
You're talking about standing up as far as in a relationship you're in right now?
Well, I'm really not in one right now.
Okay, so that's a good thing, right?
Well, maybe not. I don't know. See, the thing is, when I'm out of a relationship, it's like, well, it's because I'm bad. I didn't accommodate. I didn't, you know, help the other person, because I think the only way to get love is to do something for somebody else and accommodate them. And it's I know the concept is all screwed up, but that's the belief that I have.
Sure, but what's good about that though is the fact that you really understand what the pattern is.
Yeah, I mean that helps, but it's still I'm not sure the next step and how to get beyond that.
Right.
So that I can stand up, and then if I get into another relationship that isn't right for me, to be able to leave it instead of staying in it, you know.
Well, how about not even getting into it?
Well,
you know, the idea is that the red flag goes up early on, and the lie that we tell ourselves is it's going to get better. Or they'll change.
Right. Well, that's the thing I think is I start off accommodating right away.
Uh-huh.
And doing things just to be in a relationship. Do you know what
okay.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
But like you said, I need to be aware that I shouldn't really be in that relationship. It's really not good for me or them. And to be able to leave, to have the strength to leave, to stand up and say no. That's the help that I need. And I'm not sure how to do that.
Right. And I don't know and quite frankly, Jim, that would take, you know, in other words, like that's deep work. There's no easy answer for that because it really is, it's a coaching answer. It's a coaching and therapeutic answer that helps you come to the answer yourself. What the master's teachers and loved ones are saying right now is that even if they were to tell you, quote unquote, what to do, unless you had the foundation of internal strength to really feel the truth of it, it would just be words and you wouldn't have the muscle behind it to do it. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Yeah, see,
okay.
I'm not even sure how to really build a solid relationship.
Right, and one of the things, there's a couple of books you might want to look at. There's one book, it's by a gal by the name of Melody Beattie, and I think it's spelled B-E-A-T-T-I-E, and it's about codependency. And there's another one called The Dance of Intimacy. And the woman's last name is Wojtyc, but I don't know how to spell it. But if you put The Dance of Intimacy into like a, you know, a search engine, a book search engine like A-Books or Amazon or something like that, you might find something like that. And the reason that's important is because what's going on here is that you tried so hard to please your mom and your parents that you're recreating that not only in just relationships but also in your career, because what's
right.
going on is it's really time. It's time now for you to become very clear about what you like, what you don't like, what you'll put up with, what you won't put up with. It's all about those questions I was talking about earlier. It's really about the tolerations or the incompletes or the things that are sapping your energy.
Right.
And so this is not a quick fix answer. Because the exercises that can be given to you over time help you build the muscle and help you get the information to get you where you need to go.
Uh-huh.
So that may not be what you want to hear.
Well, I didn't necessarily expect a, you know,
No, but what I just told you is the first part of the exercises that you have to do. You can't know what you want and stand up for what you want. First of all, you can't stand up for what you want unless you know what you want. You can't know what you want unless you start looking at your life and making choices or making observations about what you like and what you don't like.
Right.
What kind of ice cream do you like?
What kind of ice cream? I used to like butter pecan. I haven't been eating ice cream, though.
But if you were eating it, what kind would you order?
Probably butter pecan.
Why?
I don't know. I like pecans quite a bit.
Okay, so if somebody wanted to give you vanilla instead of butter pecan, would you take it?
Well, yeah, if I wanted to eat ice cream, I'd take it. It's still good. Vanilla's still good.
Okay, what about mint chocolate chip?
That's good, too.
Is there an ice cream you don't like?
Not too many. Nothing comes to mind.
The point of the question is that is there a food that you don't like?
A food?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's certain vegetables that are kind of nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example, okay? This is what's going on here. In other words, like, here's the example. And I'm going to use it from my own life because that's what the master's teachers and loved ones are telling me to do. I can't stand Indian food. I had Indian food in London once, and I didn't like it. Didn't like it then, and I was with a bunch of friends, and we were in Chicago. And they loved this Indian restaurant. And everybody in the group wanted to go to the Indian restaurant. And I went along with the group, and I ordered, and I couldn't stomach the food. Even though I asked that it not be spicy, they didn't understand English to give it to me not spicy.
Okay.
The next time I go to an Indian restaurant, I know not to eat. Because I don't like it.
Okay.
All right?
Right.
It doesn't mean that I would necessarily stop the group. If you have 10 people and you got one person who doesn't want to go there, I would make my preference known. But if it wasn't taken, I'd either not go and go and eat someplace else or go and just not eat. It's a boundary thing.
Right.
It's not like about trying to eat the food and trying to stomach it when you don't want it. But I couldn't know that unless I would have tried it. And then I tried it again which confirmed that I don't like it. And so what's being said here is that in order for you to know and to stand up for what you want, you have to know what you want.
Yeah.
And you can't do that until you start closely and vigilantly observing your life and noticing, I like this, I don't like that. I can tolerate that, but I won't tolerate that. And start literally documenting it, writing it down.
Mm-hmm.
And notice what makes you mad and what makes you happy. What frustrates you and what can you put up with? But it's about observing that. Once you start the observation, then you need to work on feeling strong enough to be able to voice your opinion.
Right.
Did you ever get your eyes checked?
Yes.
You have to make a decision of which one makes you see better when they put those little lenses in, right?
Right.
You can't say it works if it doesn't work, right?
Right.
Because if you constantly said yes, they wouldn't know what to prescribe for you.
Right.
That's a metaphor for your life.
Yeah. So I've been saying yes too much and not enough no's.
Well, it's not even not enough no's. It's about not making a decision about what you want and what you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I'm still not clear on really what I want and I don't want. It's still very fuzzy, you know? I mean, I have some ideas, but it's still not clear.
Are you talking about a career or a relationship?
Well, both.
Yeah. So as when it comes to a career, what's going to be real important for you is to start looking around to things that that you look forward to doing. Do you have a hobby or something? Stuff you like to do?
Yeah. I like to do research to some degree.
On what?
Oh, mostly health.
Okay. And what else do you like to do?
Listen to music.
Okay.
You know, and read.
What do you like to read?
And watch movies.
What kind of books do you like to read?
Oh, spiritual and
okay.
health, mostly.
Okay. Okay, so do you suspect that, you know, if you started writing a blog about what you learned from a health point of view and created a health information website that you could get either ads for or people would have to subscribe for the larger one, you could make money at that?
I could make money at doing that?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know about that. I know you can have a blog or something like that and
uh-huh.
give out information.
Okay. Well, the idea is the blog drives traffic to the website.
Uh-huh.
But you've done a lot of research on health. If you were to start writing a blog on what you've learned and you had a website that had even more information, you could actually sell ads for that website if it got big enough, or subscriptions to certain parts of your website, you know, like a newsletter or something like that. I mean, you might need to start small, but you could build it up. It's just one idea. You don't even have to love it. But the idea is that it's about really looking at what you like to do and what you really love to do and taking those skills and transferring them into something that can make money for you.
Right. Yeah, see, that's kind of, you know, I had an interest in doing something on the Internet, but I really didn't know how to go about doing it, if you know what I mean.
And that's what research is all about.
I've done some research, but it's like I get more confused almost. I get different people saying, well, do this, and it's like, I don't know. I don't see the whole picture or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, that has to do with working with somebody who knows with it and can coach you through it. So if you had an internet marketing coach, they could coach you into how to do it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? So it's just about really
right.
working with someone that knows more than you do and have them coach you into a website that's going to make money. It's just an idea. It's just something
right.
coming from the masters, teachers, and loved ones based on what you just said that you like to do. It was an example.
Yeah.
But again, you have to start really making a list of what you want before you can get clear on how you can move it. See, what you don't want right now is somebody telling you what you want. You don't want
right.
somebody telling you what to do. You want to be able to work with someone to help that would help you discover what you want to do. Do you see the value of that?
Right.
You see right, but it doesn't feel like you agree.
Well, you know, it almost seems like I need to meditate or something like that, and I haven't really been too successful at that. You know,
yeah, because you're trying to blank your mind, and your mind won't blank.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of analytical, and it's like it doesn't seem to fit very well.
Right, but the
I
idea
think that's what I really need.
Well, but meditation may not be what you need. Meditation's great, but what you may need is a visualization rather than a meditation. a visualization that's created specifically for you that's going to take you on a journey into your heart. And you can really communicate with your inner self. That kind of closed eye visualization could help you. But trying to blank your mind and make it devoid of all thoughts, which was what real meditation isn't what you're looking for right now. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah,
that sounds
good.
You know, you're saying I'm not successful with meditation. Well, the reason is because you can't stay focused long enough. Is that right?
Right. That's what
yeah.
I think. I think there's so many things coming at me, and
yeah.
there's so many things I need to do, and I can't do them all, you know, and it's like one minute I try this, doing a little bit on this, and then something else comes, and I switch over and try to do something else.
Yeah.
It's like I can't really get much done.
Right. You're feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So here's what I'd like to recommend. I'd like you to email me. I will put you on my email list. I will send you information about my work with the Akashic Records. And then if you choose, we can do a real consultation that goes in-depth, you know, based on your current legal name and the questions, because it's really the current legal name and your questions that get us to the right area of the records. And then... Or you can just, you know, just learn about it and then decide what you want to do afterwards. But I think it's important that you take the responsibility to start doing some of your own work.
And you mean by getting like a website or something like that?
You have to do some internal work first. You know, along with, in other words, like there's, it's like what we've been talking for a half an hour now. And what I was trying to say to you is that it's about just starting to document what you observe about your life. And it's internal work, and it's also observing what makes you happy or what you like to do. So it's really about starting observing, and then once you do the observing, you know, come to someone like myself or a therapist. I'm not a therapist, but you could go to a therapist if you wanted, that would help you actually learn how to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
What I would do is help. I would do some life coaching through the Akashic Records to help you do that. But I'm not a certified therapist. It's whatever you're comfortable in doing.
With the Akashic Records, that goes into past lives, right?
Well, it's not just past lives. It's what you chose in this lifetime to learn. Of course, there's past lives there because it holds all the information. But the focus of the way I work with the Akashic Records is the here and now. And why is your life the way it is? What are you here to learn? And how can you move forward?
Right.
What did you bring in to learn, and what's going on?
Well, my guess is what I was speaking about is probably my major life, you know, challenge.
Yeah, sounds like
overcome.
It.
You know, that's my guess.
Right.
But it's just a stepping stone. I need to get beyond it quick and then move on.
Say this again?
Well, I think, you know, like this thing about, you know, having this pattern of, you know, accommodating and not standing up, I need to overcome that quickly and move on, you know?
Well, but you didn't acquire it quickly. That's
no.
A pattern that's been with you all of your life.
Right.
And it's a learned response to be able to get over it. I mean, you could get over it quickly if you wanted to, but you could have done that a long time ago and you didn't.
Right.
So the idea here is it's about building a muscle and knowing yourself well enough to know when you don't want to do something and feeling confident enough in yourself that you're not going to hurt somebody's feelings and not worrying about it if you do, if you say no. It's not about being selfish.
Right.
It's about honoring yourself and being willing to say no.
Yeah. See, I think I've put it as being selfish, you know.
Well, it's not.
I do what I
want
to do.
That's a learned belief that you got from your parents.
Right.
And is it true?
Well, I mean, I don't think I was selfish at all. But, I mean, even if I stood up like my brother did, that's not necessarily selfish either.
Right, but do they label it selfish?
Well, that's kind of what I picked up, I think,
okay.
Subconsciously. And I think I had just as much to do with it as they did. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't just them saying, hey, Jim, you're being selfish for wanting to do what you want to do. I think it was a control strategy that they used on me to try to get me to do what they wanted to do.
Right, exactly. And that's where you have to be able to stand up and saying, I'm no longer going to be controlled. I'm an adult.
Right.
And what's being said here is that's not an overnight thing unless you decide that you no longer are going to make those choices. But what happens is you need to build the muscle for that in order for that to happen. But I have a question that I have to answer from an email, and we've been talking for a long time. So how about this? Email me your email, and I will send you information on my work. Okay? But you have to start doing those exercises that we talked about.
Yeah, what's your email again?
My email is info, I-N-F-O, at akashicwisdom.com. That's akashicwisdom.com.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much for calling.
I really appreciate it.
Okay, dear.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay. All right, so here's what I want to tell you, everyone. The question is that when making the list, when we were talking, I was originally talking before Jim called, I was talking about making the list, and the direction was to write a date when it'll be completed. It wasn't for the whole list. It was just for two or three things. It was not for the whole list. It was just for a couple of things. And the reason why it was for a couple of things is to let you know that you have the power to be able to commit to yourself in getting it done. So look, it's your list. You get to choose what things you want to accomplish, and you get to choose when you want to commit to having it done. Now, What the email says is that this gal gets panicked when she has to set a date. Yeah, the panic in setting the date has to do with the fear of being wrong or the fear of not being good enough to accomplish it. But look at who you're afraid. You're talking about yourself. This is not about a job. This is not about an employer. This is about you. And it's not necessarily about constantly letting yourself off the hook. It's about opening yourself up to make the choices that will help you move forward on your path. So, with that, I think we're almost done. Oh, I think we have a few more minutes yet. I thought it was like 11:55 here in Cleveland, but we have a little bit more time. So I hope you understand what I was talking about. The idea here is that you have the choice. But what's even more important than putting a date on two or three things that you want to accomplish, what's more important is getting that list together of all the things that are drawing your energy and really helping yourself understand that all those things that are drawing your energy are sapping your physical ability to be present to who you are and where you're going. And once you see it, it's not about making you feel guilty. It's about helping you with your being aware of all the things that are taking you off course. And then you have the choice to do whatever you want with that information. But once you get it out of your body, it's done. It's almost like there's a wonderful, miraculous feeling of getting this all done on paper, because then it becomes manageable. And even though you have a couple of maybe a pages of lists of things that you have to do, you can actually put that list away and never look at it again. But it's out of your body. You've just allowed yourself to allow the universe to organize what's going to get done first. The piece here is, it's not about you not taking responsibility. It's about you taking the great responsibility of becoming aware enough of who you are and what you want. Spirit cannot work with you unless you work with you. That's the watchword for today. In order for us to move forward on our path, we must partner with the divine and putting one step in front of the other, and trusting that all will be laid before us. But we cannot sit back and think it's going to show up unless we're willing to do the work with it. So I challenge you. I encourage you. As I'm saying this to you, I am also saying it to me, that today is truly the first day of the rest of your life. Whatever happened in the past, leave it there. Take one step forward and get clear about what makes you feel good about you. And then, after you get that far, decide that every day you will do at least 1 to 3 things that make you feel good about you, that you're proud of that you did. And do make that list of incompletions or tolerations or whatever you want to call it. Get it out of your body and move forward on your path to the best of your ability. The best of your ability. Okay? So I want to thank you all. We have another question, but I don't have time for it now. We'll cover it next week. I want to also mention that, again, I'm going to be in San Diego on April 28th at a lecture, so come meet me. The lecture is very reasonable. It's only $15. And there's still some space in the workshop. It's going to be a wonderful workshop. There's probably only we only have room for about 10 or 15, possibly 20 people. So there's still a few spaces left, and the cost on that is $333, and that includes a 1-hour consultation with me. So if that's of interest to you, at this point you'll probably have to have the consultation after the workshop. But again, it's $333. And that level one workshop teaches you how to access your own Akashic records. If you're interested, please give me a call on my private number, which is 216-691-1233. Or you can email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. So we are out of time now, so I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. And we ask all those that are listening, may their hearts be opened, their burdens be lifted, and may you truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records for the Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show on April 18th, 2010, by saying, amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. If you'll all join me in saying amen. Blessings to you all. Have a great miracle-filled week. Good night, everybody.